Hi, Lawrence Douglas. Welcome to Cable in our Old Mole Variety Hour.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Bill.
Lawrence Douglas is a professor of law, jurisprudence, and social thought at Amherst College, Massachusetts. He's the author of Will He Go? Trump and the Looming Election Meltdown in 2020. In Will He Go? Douglas contends that Trump could win the election. That is, his defeat is far from uncertain. Then, what most of the book is about, he shows, and I quote, "What is not uncertain is how Donald Trump would react to an electoral defeat, especially a narrow one. What's not uncertain, he will reject that result. Trump's refusal to accept defeat is all but inevitable." And in that passage, Lawrence Douglas also points out our nation needs to prepare for this scenario, which I think that scenario is very likely to occur. So Lawrence Douglas, we'll conclude this interview, it will be in two parts. We'll conclude discussing how to prepare for that scenario. What can be done starting right now to force Trump to leave the White House? But first, tell us why you see a Trump refusal to accept the election, especially a narrow loss, is inevitable. Then we can get to how he and his forces and base could create a constitutional and political crisis in order to hold on to power.
Well, I would make one early distinction, Bill, between saying that he's going to reject defeat and saying that he's necessarily then going to try to, you know, barricade himself in the White House come January 20th. I'm not necessarily saying the latter. I am definitely saying the former, that he's going to reject defeat. I don't think he has ever demonstrated a capacity to acknowledge the legitimacy of him losing. If we go all the way back to 2016, when he was just seeking the Republican nomination, early on in the Iowa caucus, he lost to Senator Ted Cruz from Texas. And immediately the next morning, Trump tweeted out saying, "I didn't lose to Cruz. Cruz stole the election. It was all a hoax, and he should recognize that and that should be redone." So I simply don't think it's in his DNA to recognize the legitimacy of anybody's victory over him. He's created this kind of, you know, heads I win, tails you lose situation with our electoral system, telling all his supporters, in a sense, telling all of the American people that the only way the system can demonstrate its legitimacy is if I win. And if I lose, well, that becomes kind of immediate confirmation of what I've been saying all along, namely that the system is corrupt and victory has been taken from me through a hoax. So I just don't see it's in his DNA to recognize the legitimacy of anyone beating him.
Yeah, he's also, it seems to me, been preparing for rejecting the election and also preparing for, like what happened in Portland, somehow sending his troops in to subdue, to dominate the streets and subdue all the terrorists who are attacking and threatening all the good American people. You know, when he sent those, he sent his Second Amendment people to the state houses armed, and there was these armed confrontations between state troopers who were probably terrified and all these big white men in military and camouflage outfits holding weapons with more power than the ones that the troopers had.
Yes, and you know, in the case of Michigan, I mean, this is something where, you know, he engages in this kind of dog whistle politics that, in order to simply score political points against the Democratic governor in the midst of a pandemic, you know, he sends out a tweet saying, "Liberate your state," and we saw how his supporters answered that call. I mean, they were, you know, as you were talking, I mean, they weren't simply with these automatic weapons protesting outside the state house. They were inside the state house in Lansing. Very, very disturbing images. And I think, again, you're absolutely right to point out that he's basically telegraphed to us that he's going to reject any electoral defeat, because he's already been very conscientiously preparing a script which runs in the following way, that mail-in ballots, which are going to break heavily Democratic because they tend to be cast by people in heavily populated urban areas that vote overwhelmingly Democratic. He's already kind of created the script that says we can't trust mail-in ballots, that they're going to be corrupted, they're going to be full of fraud, we have to discount them. And all of that's a way of just trying to kind of preemptively say that any election that doesn't result in my victory is corrupt. And I should also mention, Bill, that that's unprecedented in American history. We've never had a president run down the integrity of our electoral system. And if you think about it, I mean, a constitutional democracy presupposes that the people have confidence in the electoral processes and have confidence in the trustworthiness of the results. And if you don't have faith in the process of election, then you're no longer living in a democracy. And the other thing I should mention that makes things really disturbing is if you believe that the process is corrupt, the electoral process is corrupt, then anything Trump might do to defy his defeat could be packaged as a defense of democracy rather than a usurpation of it.
Yeah, I think Trump is trapped in a way. He's achieved sort of his celebrity status now and the love of, who knows, 30 to 40% of the people, the adulation he gets. On the other hand, he has to go for broke now because my sense is that various investigations will continue into all of his business dealings, maybe even his sexual activities. You know, there'll be lawsuits. He has to defend himself in multiple lawsuits. That's like for Trump just intolerable, it seems to me. He's going to be defined as a loser. And all of those investigations and exposures carry possibilities of bankruptcy and jail and dissolution of a shaky empire and family. For Trump, I can't imagine him in terms of the person we've seen for 4 years, this terribly damaged person, ever considering relinquishing power.
Yeah, I mean, in my book, I try to draw a distinction between conceding defeat, which is really recognizing that you legitimately lost, like you fought the good fight and you lost, and submitting to defeat, which is just kind of a de facto recognition that further fighting is futile. As I've already said, I can't imagine Trump under any circumstances conceding defeat and recognizing that he legitimately lost. I could imagine, though, that he would submit to defeat. He would submit to defeat if, for example, he is really soundly defeated and that emphatic Biden victory is clear already on November 3rd. Now, I don't think we can necessarily hope for it that that's actually going to happen. But I do think that there are ways in which we can make sure that Trump would submit to defeat. But that said, I also do agree with the point that you're making. He has reasons to want to remain in office. Part of it is, you know, the possibility of limiting his exposure to criminal charges. I mean, we know that at least he believes that he could perhaps pardon himself. But of course, even if he pardons himself before leaving office, that would only attach to federal charges being brought against them. It would not save him from the kind of state charges that district attorney, the Manhattan, you know, the Cyrus Vance Jr. is the kind of probe that he's engaging in New York against the Trump organization. So he does have reasons to try to kind of stay in power to limit his legal exposure. But that said, and I think almost the bigger point is the one that you mentioned, which is about just brand protection. I think he needs to be seen as a winner. And I think he also just loves the adulation that comes with being a president and being in the spotlight and being able to dominate every conversation, which he has admittedly been able to do among both his base and those who find him abhorrent for the last, you know, 3.5 years. And in that regard, I do think he is a very odd politician in that way. I mean, I do think that he has these very clear authoritarian instincts, but as opposed to someone like Viktor Orban in Hungary or, you know, in Erdogan in Turkey, I don't think he really has any, it's not like he has a real clear political agenda that he wants to pursue with his authoritarian tactics. I think the political agenda is being in the spotlight and receiving the adulation and being the center of all attention. That seems to be his greatest political concern.
And of course, through his 4 years, it seems to me his only policy is humiliating Obama and reversing everything Obama has done. He doesn't seem to have any principles of any kind or moving in any direction, except, of course, for supporting business. Climate change is, of course, a great hoax. And We have to drill in the Arctic refuge and all the rest of that. This is Bill Resnick here for the Old Mole Hour, talking to Lawrence Douglas, who wrote, it's hot off the presses, the book, Will He Go? Trump and the Looming Election Meltdown in 2020. We've discussed so far why Trump will not willingly leave office. He'll fight to the end. But even if he is forced out of office, he will not concede, but rather attempt to rile up his forces to become a right-wing menace across the country. And that's, of course, the best-case scenario. In the remainder of this interview, we'll discuss how this country got into this mess. What do you see Trump and his well-armed base and most Republican office holders, what can and will they try, what will they likely do to keep him in power? Lawrence Douglas, you've studied election law and how complex and unclear it is about the transmission of power from one president to the next, and how Republican legislatures in the swing states could declare that the election had been corrupted by mail-in balloting. They would then announce that Trump has clearly won in their state, and the many corrupted mail-in ballots were not counted, and therefore they were required to send Trump as the winner to the Electoral College. And if they did that in enough states, well, Trump would be inaugurated as president. So, Lawrence Douglas, tell us why that could happen, that in fact Trump is preparing the ground for just that occurring.
You know, and I should also emphasize, Bill, that when I started writing this book, it was a little bit of a thought experiment. It was really kind of like, you know, we have a president who has already telegraphed that he would reject an electoral defeat. And then I kind of asked myself, well, how could such a thing happen? Is our system actually vulnerable? And what I really discovered, to my alarm, was just seeing how vulnerable our constitutional and legal system is to that type of defiance. And one of the scenarios that I basically described, these three catastrophe scenarios, one, for example, involving a possible, let's say, hack of the electrical grid just in one voting area in Michigan. But another one that I describe is one that is, you know, I don't want to necessarily pat myself on the back for kind of anticipating this thing, but it is, I think, really likely that we're going to see this scenario that I'm going to describe to you, that we're going to see it playing out. And it has to do with mail-in ballots. And it has to do with the fact that these mail-in ballots tend to break Democratic. And we know that we're going to have an unprecedented number of Americans relying on mail-in ballots come this fall. And we know that the people who are going to be most reluctant to vote in person are people in densely populated urban areas. And again, people in densely populated urban areas unwilling to expose themselves to the health risks associated with in-person voting. They're going to rely on mail-in ballots. And again, we know that densely populated urban areas vote overwhelmingly Democratic. And so then the question is, well, when do those votes get counted? When do those votes get counted? And I think typically in an election season, Americans, you know, they watch television on election day, and they treat election day a little bit like a Kentucky Derby in slow motion. They sort of expect that by the time they go to sleep, they know who the next president is going to be. But if it is the case that the election turns on the mail-in ballots, which it is likely that the outcome will turn on the count of the mail-in ballots, it's also very possible that weeks will go by before we know who has won, in particular in the swing states. And these are likely to be the same states that were in play in 2016, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, maybe North Carolina as well. And the thing that I think should make us all very disturbed is you can imagine the following scenario, that on November 3rd itself, Trump has a lead, and he has a lead simply because huge number of votes that are going to break Democratic haven't been counted yet. But what Trump tries to do is he tries to take this lead and he tries to treat it as tantamount to re-election. He declares, based on this temporary lead that he enjoys on November 3rd, that he has won. And moreover, he starts arguing that, you know, all these mail-in ballots, they have to be discounted because they're going to be infected by fraud. And moreover, he's going to say that a lot of these mail-in ballots have to be disqualified because they weren't submitted in timely fashion. And again, given the kind of completely bizarre electoral system that we have in the United States, it's all really left up to states to decide when mail-in ballots have to be received by. And there's no doubt that he's going to send out legal teams, and his own legal teams might also be supported by the Department of Justice. We could imagine Bill Barr intervening on his behalf, basically to challenge the count of mail-in ballots in many, many different states. The consequence of that would be it delays the states from getting a final count. It delays us from knowing that Biden actually ultimately carried these swing states, and it permits Trump weeks and weeks to trot out his argument that he has been reelected based on the November 3rd results. That is something that I think we need to be very, very worried about.
That ends this interview with Lawrence Douglas about his book, Will He Go? Trump Will Never Concede He Lost, at the votes close in swing states. He and most Republican office holders, aided by Trump's well-armed base, are now maneuvering so that he can claim the presidency, maybe supported by the Supreme Court. But this is no sure thing. Next week, I'll be again interviewing Lawrence Douglas on how progressives can interrupt this process, defeat and force Trump to the sidelines. That will not be easy. That's next week, Monday, at 9 a.m. on KBOO 90.7 Portland.